These days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Text free copy to 78070 for a sensible, more considered view. Text free copy to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/terms/specific offers for more details.
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 78, recorded on August 21st, 2017. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Jay Bruce's phenomenal first month with the Tribe, the Indians' growing lead in the AL Central, and, unfortunately, some key injuries that happened tonight, actually, including Andrew Miller going a full, I think, one batter and one pitcher against the Red Sox. But before we get into all that, I want to thank everybody listening live now on Facebook or wherever or whenever you may be tuning in. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and consider leaving us a review. Helps us improve, be discovered, all that fun stuff. So joining me to discuss all this and more, of course, is none other than Mr. Jason Lucart. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, it's an exciting day today with an incredibly rare occurrence happening. Of course, I'm referring to Roberto Perez getting an extra base hit.
Wow, that was masterful. How long were you planning that? Was it like the second you hit it?
I was like, wow, an eclipse and a Roberto Perez run in the same day.
There's a decent chance that'll never happen again for several reasons.
Yeah, no, that's a very good chance.
I mean, I guess it could, but I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, he actually hit a home run, didn't he? It wasn't just an extra base hit.
Yeah.
Second of the season so far, which is good. How dare you mock Roberto, first of all?
Total in one swing.
That's how you know you're good, is when you can just double everything like that. So that was one good thing tonight, Brian. Jason, every day.
But the only good thing tonight.
Yes. The other bad thing, of course, was that Andrew Miller left. He came back. This was his second appearance since an injury, since being off the disabled list. He faced one batter and threw one pitch, and then he was gone. We don't know why yet as of this recording, but we do know that his velocity was kind of way down. Zach Mizell tweeted right afterwards it was like 3 or 4 miles per hour lower. It wasn't his last outing too, but he stayed in the whole time. This time he was out. So that's not good. Does this fall into the category of, oh no, the Indians are rushing people back, or this is kind of the thing you think might have just happened?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to wait. I don't want to guess whether he was rushed back or not. Clearly, something was wrong with him. And, you know, the amount of time he was rested and held out, I would guess wasn't enough. I don't think that means the Indians necessarily missed something they should have caught. But yeah, I mean, he'd be a pretty significant loss, and you know they've recently gotten a lot of other guys back and gotten pretty good news on the looks like fairly soon returns to some other guys. We can get into, you know, a bunch of those names in a little bit. But Miller would be a pretty big loss. I mean, you think about the postseason run last year, you could make a pretty decent argument. Probably Kluber, I guess, but I mean, Miller was second or third most important guy in that postseason run. And I know we're all hoping for a similar run. And if Miller's on the shelf or is on the field but not at full capacity, that'd be a pretty significant blow. So I think anytime a guy leaves a game so soon after returning from the DL, that's a pretty significant red flag for me.
Yeah, as far as ranking him in the playoffs, I don't know if like the 1-2 with Kluber, like you said, but I think it's safe to say they would not have made the World Series without him one way or the other. Like if there's no Andrew Miller dominating the LCS, I don't think they make it. But apparently he re-aggravated the right knee injury that he had. It was a knee patellar tendonitis. That was according to Jordan Bashan on Twitter. I guess, I don't know, is that better or worse than having a new injury? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I mean, you know, I guess I would hope it's better news because the thought was, you know, he misses 10 days or whatever he missed, and that didn't quite do it. but hopefully it's not re-aggravating. It's not as bad as it originally was. I really think with all of the Indians, and again, this isn't saying that they rushed him back, but I think as long as they keep like a multiple game lead in the division, I would reach the point where you feel like he's ready to come back and then wait like another 10 days just to give him a little extra cushion. Cause, the Indians are in very good shape to win the division. And at that point, a healthy roster is going to be, you know, the most significant factor in how far they can go in the postseason. So, I mean, not just Miller, other guys too, but pitchers, of course, are higher risk of re-aggravation, I think. So I'd be pretty cautious with him after tonight and just try to get him back, you know, 2-3 weeks before the end of the regular season would be fine. If, you know, there'd still be plenty of time for him to get back up to, you know, full game speed and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was a little surprised he was even there tonight if his velocity was down in his last outing too. I mean, he looked fine. I guess he had a walk, but he was still Andrew Miller. But if his velocity was down that far, it was kind of the same thing when Corey Kluber had his injury, that Tito Francona came out to visit him on the mound, and then he just kind of left him in. And then a batter later, he realized, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, took him out. That was kind of worrying. I don't know why that happened. But yeah, we can talk about Corey Kluber too, because he was his last outing was cut short, obviously. He's on track to start Wednesday, and now with this Andrew Miller thing. I know they're not technically related, but I'm a little worried now. I'm glad he's not missing a start. But like you were just saying, at this point, the Indians are probably going to win the division. So if anybody needs even the slightest amount of rest, I'm probably going to give it to them.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, especially with the pitchers, you know, so that Kluber is supposed to be okay to pitch on Wednesday is encouraging, but yeah, there's definitely a part of me that's like, maybe just skip this turn anyway. But you know, those are the two big ones. Because those were the two top guys. And Cody Allen was almost as important as Andrew Miller in the postseason. But, Miller and Kluber would be huge. On the position player side, Carlos Santana also left tonight. He looked pretty awkward on a swing that resulted in a pop-up, kind of grimacing. And when he was initially going to stay in the game, it felt like maybe that was just mostly aggravation with popping the ball up. But it seems like he was probably in some sort of pain and tweaked something.
Yeah, that one. So they're saying that his was lower back tightness, which I guess is the worst thing in the world. That might just be like a day thing, because like you said, he tweaked it awkwardly. So maybe he's just uncomfortable for now. Maybe that is them being cautious now, because I did hear he also wanted to stay in the game. So it's not quite as bad as Miller, I don't think. I'd be surprised if he misses.
They've been missing players here and there pretty much all season. But you know, Kipps just got back recently and has looked pretty good. Lonnie Chisenhall had a big game for Columbus over the weekend and looks like, you know, he's ready to be back. The last thing I read on Michael Brantley, I think, was yesterday. He wasn't cleared to run, but was resuming like hitting and throwing and stuff like that. And it feels like, you know, another couple weeks he's supposed to be back.
Now, when you say Kipnis looking good at or looking good since he came back, are you comparing him to Eric Gonzalez or? Because he hasn't looked great.
He's
striking out like a third of the time, and he's not like hitting very much. The things I was going to bring up is like, are they better off keeping Giovanni Urshela at third because of his defense? Because even tonight he had a couple huge plays, and Kipnis has been pretty bad since he came back, I think.
You babble about something for a few seconds while I pull up Kipnis' number. Maybe I've been just like...
They're pretty bad. Not looking at anything, I would think, yeah, too, he's been pretty okay. But, like, since August 6th, since he came back, he's striking out almost 30% of the time. And his defense is, it's Jason Kipnis' defense at second base, which is fine. But, I mean, if Giovanni Urshela, I wrote about it last week, it was Merritt that wrote about it, but if he could even hit just the tiniest bit, he would be a pretty exciting player, but he can't. But at least he's got the defense. And I think tonight there were two balls that were like hit directly to him in the same inning. And then the Red Sox also had one hit over there. Or the Indians hit one over there to the Red Sox third baseman. But I don't know.
We're talking about tiny samples here. But Kipnis has been back for like 2 weeks. And in the first week he was back, his numbers were miserable and sort of dragged down his overall line. But in the last week, his OPS is 975. And again, that's a tiny sample. But he's got 3 home runs in the last week. I don't know. I feel like maybe, you know, some rust when he initially returned after missing a month. But the last week, he's hit the ball really well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still glad he's back, but I don't know how. I don't know. Just Jason Kipnis after the injury has worried me for a while. I do think he's better than Eric Gonzalez, obviously, by a million miles. But I do kind of – I love that infield of Urshela, Lindor, and Ramirez. Maybe that's why I'm kind of looking at his overall numbers instead, just because I love that defense so much.
The guys who can't hit in the lineup. The Indians, I mean, tonight's home run aside, already have catchers who can't hit. And if they're going to continue playing Bradley Zimmer, they're playing a center fielder who can't hit right now.
Wow.
Like, I'm sorry. I know you really want Bradley Zimmer to be great, and maybe he will. He's been terrible.
Hey, he has like 4 hits in his last 3 games, Jason.
Well, fine. And he also has 4 hits in his last like 20 games.
That's not important. Those ones don't count.
I mean, I love Urshela's defense too, but you can't have 3-4 guys in the lineup who are borderline automatic outs. And, you know, Kipnis, when healthy, is a significantly better player than Urshela is. And yeah. To me, the last week feels like he's gotten things going. And again, you know, it's only a week of baseball, but I feel like if you're looking at a guy returning from an injury, the most recent week is more important than the week before that one.
Yeah. So enough of these players that are injured and also not performing great. Let's talk about one who's just insane since he came over to the Indians. Jay Bruce, coming in tonight, he already has 5 doubles, 3 home runs. It's a really high OPS. I wrote a slash line. I'm not going to add it up. It's really high. Just trust me. In Cleveland in his career, he's basically Ted Williams. Merritt wrote about that last week. He probably won't be that good in Cleveland forever, but on the road, he's been great. I think he had another hit tonight. So, holy cow. Did we just all line up and like, I know Phil Karras, another Let's Go Try writer, he was all over Jay Bruce being traded to the Indians. I didn't want it to happen. I thought it was dumb. I also didn't realize the Indians could get him for basically nothing. But now I just want to kind of, I don't know, just tell Phil I'm sorry and send him a gift basket and say thank you for wanting the Indians to get Jay Bruce, because it's worked out so far.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's produced enough in, you know, his first whatever dozen games with the team to have been worth significantly more than the Indians gave up to get him, which was practically nothing. So, I mean, even if the bottom were to fall out tomorrow and he hardly did anything, it still would have been a good pickup, since, you know, the 30% of his salary that he was still owed is almost literally all he cost. I mean, yeah, to me, with what it took to get him, it was a no-brainer. And it's funny to me that apparently the Indians only got him because the Yankees were trying to negotiate and didn't want to just pay the rest of his salary. So it's funny that the Indians were willing to spend more than the Yankees, and that's how they got the guy who's been their best hitter for the last couple of weeks.
Yankees is cheap.
I mean, for the Mets, I mean, what? Mets won the World Series pretty recently. So on that level, they're a better team to have been rooting for in recent years than a lot of teams, just sort of automatically, I think. But aside from that, being a Mets fan has, the last like 2 years, had to suck. Like, their ownership is terrible. They gave Bruce away for nothing just to avoid paying like the remaining $4 million on his contract. They can't keep the roster healthy at all, to the point where there's, I think, at least semi-legitimate questions about the competency of their medical staff, because so many of their players get hurt and continue to get hurt, and they let players try to play through injuries, and then the injuries get worse. Like, the Mets are a disaster, and I'm thrilled that the Indians were able to capitalize that and get Jay Bruce for free, basically.
Yeah, don't forget they also traded Curtis Granderson to the Dodgers for cash. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not great anymore, but still, you think you get more than cash for Curtis Granderson, no matter how old he is.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're not the Yankees, but they play in the biggest market in the country. There's no reason they should be nickel and diming everything. There's no good reason they should be nickel and diming everything.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, remember the whole Noah Syndergaard thing where he decided he wanted to pitch and
yeah, that's what I mean.
Hurt
and get hurt, and then are able to convince the team that it's not that big a deal. Like, I mean, and I mean, he's maybe the most high profile example, but there's a ton of them. Like, I just heard Steven Matz has been injured for a while and trying to pitch through it, and now probably needs surgery. It's like, why do you have your young pitchers trying to, like, your season is done? if someone's pitching through pain, shut them down. What are you fools doing?
Are you gonna? You should send him an angry letter, Jason. Just start with what are you, dear Mets? What are you fools doing?
Stop the process that's giving the Indians
that's true
35 home runs a season for free.
Although if they keep being this bad, who are they going to have? The Indians are going to want to take off of them soon.
Well, yeah, I mean that's a fair point. But
these days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Visit economist.com/free copy for a sensible, more considered view. Visit economist.com/free copy now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. New subscribers only. Terms and conditions apply.
So those Indians, with Jay Bruce, with all the injuries, with everything else, with a tough schedule, they're now 5 games up, at least as of now, over the Royals in the AL Central. The Royals and Twins are kind of battling, I guess, for second place at this point for a wild card. And this is all with the Indians. We talked about it last time we had a podcast. They have a very hard schedule in August, and they've just kind of been pretty good with it. they dominated the Rays, of course, and Tropicana.
That is another reminder to not get too caught up in what the schedule looks like for a stretch of time, because the difference between a tough schedule and an easy schedule in terms of the win expectancy for the month, you're talking about probably like a 2-win difference. And not that 2 wins isn't anything, but I think to some extent we probably blew out of proportion what an ordeal August was likely to be. But yeah, the Indians have been playing really well. The Twins are in second, and I think, you know, depending on how the games tonight shake out, it'll be like a 4.5, 5.5, or 6.5 game lead for the Indians. Taking 2 out of 3 from the Twins and then taking 2 out of 3 from the Royals was a great week.
Yeah, and I know the win expectancy is very minimal, but I do think it makes a difference if you're playing a bunch of good teams versus playing a bunch of bad teams. You still have to be the better team, obviously, but I don't know. I think there is an aspect of the schedule is harder in August, and they just kind of beat up everybody on it. It didn't really matter. And it's going to get harder now. They're going to play the Red Sox 3 more times, the Royals again, and then the Yankees. I'll go with all the Yankees there.
But that's not getting harder. That's just playing they already played and just playing them again. Like, it's just kind of a repeat of what they've already done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, like, it's harder to play good teams than to play bad teams, but it's just not... I don't know. Baseball just isn't structured the way, like, the NBA is, where, like, if you were playing, you know, all the best teams or tough teams in a month, you'd expect to have, you know, a wider variance than in baseball.
Yeah. And as far as the second place team goes, those Twins, man. My preseason thing of them, or not, maybe it wasn't preseason, but whenever we said they were going to be second, I'm not looking so bad on that anymore. And it's for the reasons I thought, too, because they have a bunch of young players on offense who could be really good, and they started to be good, but now Miguel Sano's injured, so he just killed my whole thing.
The division just sucks. It's just the Indians are trash.
It is, like, but we talked about who could be second in that trash heap, and you said the Royals. Or no, I think, did you say the Tigers or the Royals?
The Tigers, and then the Tigers.
Oh, wow, you're...
But again, yeah, wins and losses, the Twins are much better. Run differential, the Twins are just as trash as the Tigers is. The Tigers are. It's just a crap division that the Indians are fortunately capitalizing on.
Now, Jason, I don't know if you, I know you don't listen to broadcasts very often, but if Mr. Rick Manning, he said run differentials don't matter, so I don't think that matters.
What Rick Manning said and what matters have very, very little overlap in that Venn diagram.
Because if you win, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you win by one. All you want is those wins. And it was funny, as he was saying that during the broadcast, they had a little graphic that showed the run differential, and it was like perfectly in order of the wins and losses of teams. Like, it was... While he was saying stupid stuff, it was disproving him as he was going. It was pretty great.
Well, and run differential makes the Indians... I mean, the Indians' record at this point is pretty good, but the run differential is better than their record is at this point. By run differential, they're the second-best team in the American League.
Yeah, and his argument is basically it doesn't matter, because as long as you get the wins. Them wins, Brian, Jason. Them wins.
Well, and he has like a very narrow point that yes, like the standings are determined by wins and losses, and anyone who's not a moron understands that and doesn't need to be told that.
Yes.
But I'm not going to try to explain anything to Rick Manning, A, because he's not listening, and B, because even if he were, I couldn't convince him of anything.
And I think the thing he used run differential for is like last year with the Rangers, because they were winning a bunch of one-run games, and it was, you could have looked at that and said, maybe they're not going to be great in the playoffs, and they weren't great in the playoffs. Yeah, so anything else about the Indians and they're taking the division by storm apparently at this point?
It's totally possible their lead is 4.5 games in tonight, in which case I'll feel good, but it's not like they've got it wrapped it up. B, this is where they should have been all season, is, you know, comfortably ahead of the rest of the division, and I'm glad it's happening. But I think the current state of affairs tells us more about how sort of middling the Indians were for 4 months than anything else. I'm glad they've gotten it going now. And again, if they can get everyone healthy at the same time, then I think they've got as good a chance to win the American League as anyone else.
Do you see them going to like any kind of competition for the second or even first seed at this point? Because the Astros aren't that far ahead. The Red Sox are definitely in range, and the Astros aren't pretty far.
I can certainly see them catching Boston. I think they're, you know, 3 games behind Boston. So if they win 3 of the 4 games in this series, they'll have shrunk that to only a game. I still don't think they're going to catch Houston. I mean, you're right. Houston has not been playing especially well. But I think the Indians are still something like 7 games behind them. And making up 7 games in a quarter of the season is a pretty tall order.
Yeah. And yeah, as long as they got the division, I think they have that pretty much wrapped. Or not. I don't know. You said you don't. I think they pretty much do. It would have to be a collapse. I'd call it a collapse at this point if they don't win it. It'd be a collapse all season long if they didn't win it, just because it's so bad.
For first place, I said I, you know, thought they'd win the division. They're the only team that's not bad in the division. So,
excuse me, the Twins are not bad, they? Jason. Those Twins are going to get a wild card spot. You watch.
Bad than the rest of the division. The American League right now, I mean, this season has like 4 good teams, a handful of okay ones, and a few crummy ones. Like the wild card race is bonkers, and I'm hoping there's like a 4-way tie and some sort of ridiculous, you know, series of winner go home games would be fun.
It's fun because the Indians aren't involved in it. We should clarify.
But none of those teams in the fight for the second wildcard team are actually good teams. It's just one not good team is going to get to play in the wildcard game and then maybe go on to win the World Series. Who knows?
Because yay playoffs. So yeah, that's all our scheduled stuff. But every Monday, every Thursday, what day is this? Monday. Every Monday, we ask you guys on Facebook and Twitter if you guys have questions. We didn't do it this week, but last week we did, and then we didn't do the podcast. But Jason Gruber last week, he asked, is Corey Kluber a lock for the AL Cy Young, right? I mean, first of all, he hasn't pitched as much as Chris Sale. And even if they were even, just as the way his rate stats are now, Sale leads in pretty much everything, like strikeout, white, rock rate. ERA, FIP, it's all close, but Sale leads. And so combine that with the fact that Sale has so many more innings pitched and that's the counting stats, I don't see any way that Kluber beats him at this point. It's definitely not a lock for Kluber, but it's probably closer than it has any right to be, but I don't think Kluber's going to win it by any means.
No, I mean, if Sale doesn't get hurt or have the bottom completely fall out, it's going to be hard for anyone but Chris Sale to win the AL Cy Young this year. And Kluber will probably, if he stays healthy, will probably be second and will have had a fantastic season. But yeah, like you said, the innings difference is going to make it really, really hard for him to deserve or actually win the Cy Young this year.
Yeah, but just the fact that it's even this close is incredible, considering how bad he was at the beginning and he missed time. And
he's in the American League for, you know, 5 years now. So it's fun that they're both pitching so well this season.
Yeah. Then Scott3B on Twitter, he wants to know, what's your over-under on how many players pass 5 Fangraphs WAR? I'd say less than 5, but more than 2. I would just say 2. I'm going to say Ramirez on offense and Kluber pitching. Lindor is the closest next position player. I don't know if he'll get to 5. He'd have to be really good over the last month and a half. What do you think, Jason? Is 2 about the right number, or do you have anybody else who might sneak in there?
Yeah, I mean, Carrasco's the other guy who, in theory, could get there, but it would take a pretty fantastic last quarter of the season from him. You know, Lindor could get there, but again, it would take, you know, I mean, he's been playing really, really well for a month now, and I don't know what his WAR was at a month ago. I would guess if he kept up his numbers from the last 30 games for the next 40 games, he'd be really, really close to five. But that's a lot to ask to keep up his level of production from the last month. Yeah, I think, you know, Kluber's already there. Ramirez is on pace to get there. I think it's more likely that Ramirez doesn't get there and it's just Kluber than that a third player joins it. I would bet on two, but if it's not two, I would bet on it being only one rather than it being three.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Fine.
Five WAR season is a great season. Like that the Indians are going to have, you know, four guys with four WAR instead, you know, is not some sort of terrible news or anything like that.
Yeah. And they also have like the Edwins and Santana who don't play defense. And when they do, it's not very good. So their WAR is never great, but they hit the ball really well, so they're not a terrible team overall, even if they don't have a bunch of five WAR players, because that is a pretty high mark to hit, I think.
Yep.
So, Jason, as we talked about a little bit, upcoming schedule, got the Red Sox another three games. I don't know what happened tonight, if they've won or lost yet.
They're tied 4-4 in the ninth at the moment.
Oh, good. Let's extend this pointless game. Everybody's getting injured. Awesome. Let's do that. I want more of that. But anyway, they'll finish this up. They'll play the Royals again, and then they'll place the Yankees, which, for me, is my mini World Series every time I play the Yankees, because I'm surrounded by so many Yankee fans that I need them to win it for my soul. So the last one was rough. That was when they split the 2-2. I had a couple bets on that, and it just split. So at least there's no splitting this time when they play the Yankees.
Well, you say that now. If they get swept, you're going to they had won 1.5 games somehow.
Win one game and have, what would they have to do, like lead at the half and then have it postponed and it never gets made up or something crazy? Yeah. So what do you got coming up exciting in the next week or so?
I've got a school year starting and a couple dozen or so fourth graders about to either make my life a wonderful, joyous exploration of learning or a hellish slog through the next 9.5 months.
Now, do you see a lot of, like, baseball, like, I don't know, kids besides my own, really? Is there, like, a lot of kids with baseball backpacks? And I don't think kids trade baseball cards anymore, but
I don't know if I've ever seen a baseball backpack on one of my students. I have kids who are into baseball.
Baseball backpacks?
Is that just, like, a backpack with, like, a baseball team on it?
Yeah, because I'm not even, like, a main city. I'm just in the New York range, and I've seen a Yankees one.
No, it's all, I mean, it's either like a plain backpack or like a backpack with like fictional characters on it.
That's lame. Although it's better than a Cubs one, I guess.
or better than a Yankees one.
Yeah, it's way better than a Yankees one.
Being in Chicago, as you would imagine, last year at this time, I had quite a few kids who were into baseball, and kids who missed school do attend various parades that I'd rather not get into.
It's cool if that happens.
There's baseball fans. I don't think there's a lot of kids that are like actually watching a ton of baseball for no other reason than they have to go to bed long before a baseball game tends to end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say baseball's fairly popular where I live.
That's good. Yeah, I never know because I've only been to like Cleveland a couple times. Like I've never been in big major cities that have teams, and it's always weird. Like everybody likes the same team there. I'm not used to it. I don't know. It's weird. But my son, he is trained to, like, when he sees the Yankees logo, he knows those are the bad guys. Wow, it's like that kid with the Yankees backpack. He's like, he has a backpack with the bad guys. It's like, yes. I did something right. All right,
punch
Jason.
Him, Daddy. Punch him.
Take him out. That is our podcast for this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hopefully the Indians win. Hopefully nobody else gets injured. And talk to you
these days, good sense is in short supply. Amid the fear-mongering and fake news, it can be hard to take a breath and tune in to what's real. But every week, The Economist provides clarity on the issues that matter to you. Get a free print copy of The Economist. Text free copy to 78070 for a sensible, more considered view. Text free copy to 78070 now. The Economist. Clear thinking in an uncertain world. SMS charged as per tariff. New subscribers only. Further T's and C's apply. Visit economist.com/terms/specific offers for more details.